tracks had been laid and everything else. And it took about 150 years to kill this area. Mm-hmm. It was like in a dose of radiation when they moved that terminus of the railroads from Dunkirk, and they moved it to Erie. And that's why you can drive, your GPS will show you railroads and everything around. We know railroads.
Nope.
Well, there used to be, so
that's
the
right.
GPS showed train tracks and things all over, but canals that don't exist anymore. Why? Because the area just slowly died. But it didn't just die like that. It took a long time. Now, why did I say that? Well, you know, when the doctrine of evolution came out, the doctrine of devils, but when it came out, there were preachers that got confused about that. One of the first of them was Woodrow Wilson's father. Woodrow Wilson's father is the man who started the Southern Presbyterian Church to defend slavery. Okay? Slavery and evolution go together. Okay? But the thing is, he started the Southern Presbyterian Church to defend two things, slavery and evolution. Eventually, he had to leave the South somewhere in the 1880s or something like that. People caught on to what he was doing. But the point is, there were a lot of preachers that thought we can blend evolution and we can blend Christianity together. We can do that. Okay? Turned out, can't do that. It destroys Christianity.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt evolution, but it destroyed Christianity. Now, what else happened? Well, about the same time Darwin was publishing his nonsense, the Church of England decided they were going to mess with the Bible. We have a guy named Westcott Horton.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to take and confuse people and show them different manuscripts and things. Say, look, your King James Bible is wrong. Well, a Christian by the name of Benjamin Warfield got involved with him. And he didn't know how to answer their science. He didn't know what to do about it. So you know what he did? He tried to blend that and Christianity, and here's the doctrine he came up with. That when the apostles originally wrote the Bible, it was inspired, but it's never been inspired since.
That's right.
What you have today is not inspired. What they had was inspired. How long did it take to kill Christianity when he did that? About as long as it took to kill this area. Okay? Suddenly the terminus wasn't at the right place anymore. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. Meaning, Timothy, you knew Leviticus. You knew Exodus. You could read Ecclesiastes. And then you know what he said? He said, all Scripture, what Timothy had, is given by inspiration of God. Does anybody think Timothy had the originals? Anybody think that? Yeah. That's right. He had one. That's right. He did have one. He got two letters. He got the originals to him. All right. That's good. Okay. But the point is, the Apostle Paul wasn't calling the original Scripture. He was calling what Timothy had Scripture.
Right.
Okay. And he said it was inspired. And so now in America, it's just remnants left of anything, of the power of God, of any movement of God whatsoever. Every man that pastors a church in the will of God pastors it with the measure of faith that God has given.
That's right.
Every man has a different measure of faith. I've never met Brother Mark Smith's dad, but he's been out there in the Adirondack with a measure of faith.
Amen.
Something God gave him, he's there.
Good.
Okay? It's where he is. And it's just you get that measure of faith. Well, one of the measures of faith God gave me is we were going to establish the Word of God in Black Creek.
Yes, sir. Thank the Lord for it.
And my people were going to learn the Word of God. Amen. They weren't going to learn anything else but the Word of God. Now, we've never taught them manuscript evidence. We've never gone into translating issues, anything else. We just get into the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, you take Dale, and if you watch him day by day, only been saved 6.5 years. You chalk up a lot of failures in that 6.5 years. We have some people who catalog them, okay?
Yeah, buddy.
And they'll go in and they just have trouble seeing them any other way, okay? It's what Jesus Christ talked about when he talked about the evil eye. There's certain people who can just walk in and all they see is the wrong. Just see the wrong. I just see the wrong. Just see the wrong in this. You know, when a new person comes into this church, you know what I want to see? I want to see what God could do if he had heaven in that person.
Yes, sir.
What God could do if he took that person over. What God could do if he took that personality, those talents, and God owned those, and God had those, redeemed them to himself. What could that person be?
Right.
There's some people in here, we still have that longing that God would do that. Still have that longing that God would step in and do that.
Right.
Good go.
One of the things Dale's done, he's been on a study of that tabernacle and those laws. I'm going to say this. I doubt you can find 20 men in America. I doubt you can find 20 who could sit down with Dale and sit verse for verse and go over that and doctrinally show what that tabernacle was, what those laws were, what those sacrifices were, and how the Apostle Paul talks about them and what he says about it. Doubt you find 20 people who could sit there with Dale. Got young Jack Vernon sitting back there. Maybe four or five youth weeks ago, I forget, Zach came up to me and he said this. He said, Pastor, he said, I was North Carolina's wrestling champion. And he said all sorts of schools wanted to give me scholarships. West Point, Appalachian State, different ones. And he said, but God's called me to preach. I don't want to take any of those. And he said, now all the Bible colleges want me to come. Let me tell you something. I'd sooner send you to a rattlesnake pit.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? Right. Pillar in the ground of the truth is the local church.
That's exactly right. Where it is.
Teach you the word of God.
Right.
Ground you in the word of God. I told Zach, I said, Zach, isn't your dad a pastor? He said, yeah. I said, you go home and let your dad teach you how to be a pastor. But I'll give you a curriculum. Zach called me about 6 months later. Said, this is hard. This is hard. Well, big boy, weren't you a wrestler? Didn't you learn to wrestle and exercise and all that? Yeah? Well, get in there and work. You know what I make them do? Start in the book of Romans. What's the first word in the book of Romans? Paul. Well, don't leave that word until you've looked up Paul everywhere in the Bible. Everywhere the Bible talks about him, and you know who Paul is. As God talked about Paul. You know what the next thing is? He says he's a servant. Well, what did he mean by a servant? What are the rules of servitude? What did a Pharisee in the year 45 AD mean by a servant? Go back and look it up. Study it. When your conscience is right and you understand it, go to the next thing. Called. What's it mean to be called? Go look up called. Search it. When you get out the other end with the book of Hebrews, you'll have a good reference the rest of your life. Yes, how far are you now, Zach? Where are you at?
I'm in starting in Philippians.
He's starting in Philippians. What's that mean? Every word between Romans the beginning of Philippians, Zach's done that with. Every word. I'll tell you this. I'd kick him out of Romans. Well, you do it three times or something. Bonehead. But I'll tell you this. You won't find five men in America who can stand with Zach one-on-one and go over the book of Romans.
Amen.
Just for what it says. You won't find five men in America that can do it. Learning the Word of God. Learning what it is. Let the Word of God teach you. I get a phone call one day and I look. It's a 336 area code, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Who's this? Hear this southern voice. What is this you teaching my boy? Oh, that's the last thing I do is get tangled with some redneck.
All right. Oh, boy.
So, you know, like the brave man I am, I'm trying to backpedal. And I did tell him to stay in your church, you know. You know what he said? How come you're not teaching me? Well, you learn. He's been learning.
Amen.
Okay? The Word of God will make you free.
Sure, well, that's exactly right.
The Word of God will liberate you.
Yep.
You know, I've noticed this. There's two different types of women that'll wear dresses to church. There's some that do it as chains of bondage. Chains that they're forced to do this. Chains that someone's made them conform to this thing. We got women in this church that were liberated to wear them.
How about that?
Liberated from the sin, liberated from the filth. And the joy of walking around as a woman and being known as a woman and being, and whether God can look down from heaven. Sammy Allen said this. He said, God never intended to look down on this earth and not be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman.
That's exactly right.
God never intended to do that. Okay? Liberated. Liberated. I've had their husbands come up and say, oh my goodness, what a difference it's made. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that. Their whole countenance and everything changes.
Yes, sir.
That's why we don't have any dress rules in this church. Well, we have one. Somewhere about a year and a half ago, I was standing on that porch and there was a woman bathing topless. I mean, right on the church property. Right where those cars are. The state of New York can't do anything about that. And I thought, well, ain't this a snare? Come and entertain the troops. And I thought, what will I do if she walks onto church property? And so we had a church vote that both men and women have to wear a shirt in this church. On the church property.
Good.
And you know what the Lord did? He had a guy buy that building and empty it out. The Lord took care of it. Okay? For the moment. He's taking care of it. On that, we've never had a dress code. Somebody want to get up here and wear a bikini and you're dumb enough to do it, I'm dumb enough to look. Okay? Get up there, trot your stuff up here, whatever else you want. My feeling is, if it ain't for sale, you shouldn't advertise it. All right? But the thing is, you ought to come up there and do it. But you know what? If I had a bunch of sick people, they all had measles, what good would it do if I painted them all white? I wouldn't know who had the measles and who didn't.
Right.
I love to watch when God begins to get a hold of a heart. God begins to get a hold of a home. God begins to change that home. God begins to give them that liberty, that absolute joy and liberty. And say, you know, this is what we're going to be. We're going to be this as a family. When Dale and Amy quit worrying about what their family thought about them, their family began to love them and respect them.
Sure did. Absolutely.
Up until then, their family never did.
That's right. Exactly right.
I told Dale this. Let me tell you something. If there's a financial mistake that a family can make, the Morris have made it twice.
That's right.
Most families only make it once. I was listening to a man who spent many long years in California helping nuns and priests get out of the Catholic Church. He'd get them one to the Lord. He'd get them out. You know what he said? He said almost every one of them went bankrupt when they came out. Because they lived for 20 or 30 years in that church and never, ever had to handle money ever. And for the first time they handled it, he said almost universally, no matter what he said, they went bankrupt. I watched Maurice go bankrupt.
That's right.
Dumb decisions, mm-hmm. Okay? Stupid things. Things you just wring your hands and say, how can anybody be that dumb? Okay? But I remember what that guy said. What are you going to say with a guy who, when he was broke, just put a gun in somebody's face and get money? Okay? For the first time trying to handle it. But you know what? We have a great God.
That's right.
You know what I told Dale when he finished his last course on his doctorate? I said, Dale, you did it without ever getting bailed out. You did it without any miracle ever getting out of it. You and your wife having to go through, they took one of those bankruptcies where you pay everybody back. Where a judge sees to it that every single month a payment comes out and you pay them back and it's the first thing that goes out and you live on whatever's left. And I said, Dale, you managed, you've got that doctorate, you've put your home together, and you did it without any miracles. Just learning the hard way. You know what he told me? He said, when my wife and I learned to tithe, we handled it.
Exactly.
When we learned to tithe to the house of God, it all began to come together.
Exactly right.
Cliff?
Yes, sir.